free segment here. Gasper and Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Opening up talking about NBA offseason-related stuff, especially as it pertains to the Celtics. Marcus Smart upset that Danny Ainge and the Celtics really haven't talked to him about a contract extension. Any concern growing about Kyrie Irving leaving for the New York Knicks at this time next summer? If you want to join us, 617-779-0985. I do have to pause here and enjoy some of the misery porn that is on the television here as Sweden is about to fall to England 2-0 in the World Cup, showing a lot of upset Swedish fans, many of them very attractive, blonde, no shocker there. But man, this is what it's all about here. Even though I wanted Sweden to win this match, Chris, England moving on here. Wow, jeez. Oh, man, these Swedes, they do come from good stock. But this, England winning here, this is just further proof that, like, the sports world is upside down, especially for yours truly. Like, I don't like it. Loser franchises that should be perpetual losers now win. The world's upside down. It's cats and dogs living together. I just hate this. Just as an aside, I have this itch to scratch. This makes me crazy. I'm not going to be shocked if England wins the whole damn thing and wins the World Cup. They shouldn't, because they're a perpetual loser, and their misery is what I want. You know, that's what I love the sports schadenfreude. That's what has me keeps coming back. But recently, look at it. Look at the track record. All these loser franchises, the Eagles. The Eagles beating my most favorite of teams, the Patriots, in Super Bowl 52. They win the Super Bowl. That's not supposed to happen.
That's true.
Cleveland gets to taste the deliciousness of championship.
Yeah.
Championship victory.
Speaking of Kyrie, yeah.
With the Cavs win a few years back. That shouldn't have happened. What's next? Well, now the Toronto Maple Leafs have John Tavares. Are they going to win the Stanley Cup next year? Do I have to live through that? The Cubs win the World Series. Hated that. That was one of the last things that actually made Major League Baseball kind of interesting, is that those losers kept losing, and now that they've won a championship? I think it's bad for baseball. Who else am I forgetting? There's been other things that have happened recently that have made me crazy about this. Like, these loser franchises are supposed to stay losers. What's going to happen next? The Jets going to win the Super Bowl too? Like, England winning today. That ain't supposed to happen. It makes me mad.
I can tell. Yeah. But here's the thing I don't understand. We talked about this the other day. So you root for Brazil. They've won this thing like, what, 4 or 5 times?
Mm-hmm.
It means so much to their country. It's like a national disgrace when they lose, which happened, you know, yesterday. But you don't root for the sport schadenfreude there. But with England, they invented the sport. They haven't won since 1966. They're pretty much the Red Sox of this thing, at least pre-2004 Red Sox of this thing. And yet you want them to lose so that you can taste their tears. I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't know. I know some of this doesn't really make sense. There's loser teams I would ultimately root for, though, if they did happen to have a chance at a championship, like the Detroit Lions. Like,
so you would?
Yeah, I was a Barry Sanders fan. Okay. I still enjoy getting caught in the vortex on YouTube and watching Dick Nitrane Lane clothesline people.
Yes.
God, I wish football was still like that. So, like, I like the uniform. I like the powder blues. So, like, I would root for the Lions if they had a chance to win the championship. I actually kind of would, even, well, now that that Cleveland is a city, that hellhole has gotten over the hump, I would actually root for the Browns if they went to the Super Bowl, because those people are, I mean, it means so much to them. Like, I'd actually root for the Browns. Same with the Bills, believe it or not. Like, the Bills, I rooted for them in that run of 4 straight Super Bowls.
So you were happy they made the playoffs last year?
I was. I thought it was great for football.
Really?
Yeah, I was. I thought that was...
See, I would have thought that would have been one that you would have been
no.
like, oh, please get denied.
No, I find the Bills Mafia extremely entertaining. They lighten themselves on fire, jumping through tables, all the nonsense that goes on at Orchard Park. Like,
yeah.
I like all that. I would ultimately root for the Bills. Yeah, there's certain teams that I wouldn't mind if
you
they got over that
Kyrie
hump.
You are Kyrie Irving-like enigma, Jim
I
Murray. I don't understand. I don't understand your logic, who you root for and who you don't.
But these drunk louts, these Brits, like, oh, please. It'd be better for the internet, too, if we got to see videos of them smashing each other over chairs. Like, I can't believe Harry Kane didn't score. He had a chance to score, Harry. Harry, you blew it. And they're smashing each other with bottles and whatnot. Throwing a Newcastle against the wall. Like,
I can see Jim as a hooligan, definitely.
Oh, Joe. So maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's a deep-seated jealousy. I mentioned it the other day on Felger and Maz, one of my favorite books of all time. Can't recommend it enough. You're looking for a good sports book or book in general. Bill Buford's Among the Thugs. It was the book that was the impetus to the movie Green Street Hooligans.
Yeah, I've seen that movie.
And the book's so much better. And what he did, I mean, it was like a straight-laced guy that wrote for the New York Times. Oh, yeah, here it is here. All these, look at us cheer. Harry, as a high five, let's drink for the next 9 days. Keep ourselves up with the cocaine. All right, right. Those Brits. Maybe that's what it is. I'm just jealous I don't get to be part of that because they care so much. But yeah, that book, man, Bill Buford, straight-laced writer that used to work for the Times, he immersed himself in soccer hooliganism, and he kind of went into the the psychology of it and how, like, you know, these guys ultimately end up thinking as one crazed entity. Like, you lose all sense of self, and that's why so much of the violence and nonsense happens. And I finished that. I've read it twice at both times. I'm like, man, I want to be a part of this, as sick as it is. Like, you don't want to have people, like, you know, getting really, really hurt and ending up in the hospital or crippled or anything like that. But you throw a couple of punches at a match. Hey, have yourselves a couple of pints later, yeah? You're right, huh? Oh, we got ourselves into a bit of a scuffle. Like, I would like part of that. But either way, screw England. I want them getting knocked out of this tournament.
I could see you trying to start some sort of Patriots hooligan group.
Yeah, there was a time when it was the old place. I might have been thrown out of there a couple of times, Chris.
I think I'm in on that.
Yeah.
I think I'd be in on that with you, Jim.
There's two games in particular. Yeah, it was twice. I got thrown out of two games. The 98 season, they got put over a barrel by that Falcons team that ended up going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think they lost like 40-7.
Dirty Bird.
Dirty Bird Falcons. Yeah. Got thrown out of that game. And if you remember the Shannon Sharp, we're killing the Patriots.
Oh, somebody called the National Guard because you were at that game?
I was at that game. I remember, if I remember correctly, so I'm really going to date myself, that Bill Parcells tried a fake punt, and they threw a pass to Teddy Bruschi, a young Teddy Bruschi at the time, and it clanged off his hands. And was after that play, said some horrible stuff, thrown out of the game. So, I'm a big dumb animal, folks. Like, and it really hasn't changed all that much.
Did you ever? So you said you've been thrown out, but have you ever ended up in that, like, you know,
Pat's jail?
Yeah,
no, okay. I've never ended up in Pat's jail.
That's kind of disappointing.
Some of my pals have been in that Pat's jail.
I heard they put you in the cooler, from what I've heard.
Yeah,
they put you in a cooler for a little bit, and then they let you go.
Yeah, well, my best friend has ended up in that Pat's jail at a U2 concert too. So it's
wow.
Yeah, I know all about it, but I've never actually experienced it. Thankfully. So, maybe that's what it is, deep-seated jealousy of these Brit fans. Oh, Harry Kane, he's scored a goal. Oh, boy, I'm going to poop in me knickers. Let's go to, Bill in the car on Marcus Smart, who we opened up talking about today. Hey, Bill.
Hey, guys, how are you doing today?
Good. What's up?
Well, first of all, I think Marcus Smart is an enigma. Play back the tape of Game 7, and you watch between him and also Marcus Morris. It was like playground with the way they were launching balls up at the end. I mean, they had a shot to win. They should have won that game. And for every great play he makes a boneheaded play. And he turns over balls at the worst possible time. And as far as Kyrie Irving is concerned, would I rather have Kawhi? Of course, I'd rather have Kawhi, but I think the Celtics have a much better chance of re-signing Kyrie. I think there's only a 25% chance he goes to New York.
All right, Bill. Thanks for the phone call. Again, we have a couple open phone lines. You want to join us? It's been NBA heavy here for the first hour, and we're going to get caught up with the Hub headlines with Joe Murray. He'll give you the latest, and I promise we'll come back and go right to you and these calls. You want to join us? Two open lines, 617-779-0985. It's Gasper and Murray. 98.5 is Sports Hub, yeah?
Make it your home page.
A connection.
98.5thesportshub.com.
Gasper and Murray have scorching hot takes, twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bays. They'll also talk soft and out of town things. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper
and Murray.
Gasper
and Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper
and Murray.
Gasper
and Murray.
Gasper
and Murray.
Hour number two, Gasper Murray, 98.5 of Sports Hub, and now available as a podcast on 98.5sportshub.com and the 98.5 Sports Hub app, free download on iPhone and Android devices. Speaking of podcasts, we do have another one on the 98.5 Sports Hub Beasley platform, and that is hosted by the Bankroll Boys themselves, Joe Murray, Dan Lifshatz. It is a gambling-themed podcast. What is the name exactly again?
Under 985.
Over Under 985. You have one episode thus far?
One episode, recording another tomorrow.
Excellent. So this is for all your gambling and sports gambling related needs. You got to be pumped that now this is starting to get legal. Delaware has legalized it. Feels like it's all a matter of time before sports gambling is legalized here in Massachusetts.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Something needs to pass by August this year, and who knows? We could be betting at a local Tedeschi's or, you know, 7-Eleven before you know it.
Oh, I can't wait. And there's part of me that can't wait. There's part of me that's a little bit scared of it. I've only placed two sports wagers in the last, like, 3 years, because there was a time where it was a little shaky. So I try not to do it, but it's going to date myself here. But for those that remember, there was one particular episode of the Flintstones where anyone said bet, and Fred Flintstone started going bet, like that's kind of what happens to me. I mean, I have a lot of gambling-related tattoos. Because my grandfather on my mom's side, Jim, was a bit of a degenerate. So much so that growing up, after he retired, old Jim Barrasso worked at Suffolk Downs, and I'm using air quotes here, parking cars. He worked in the in the parking lot to help park cars for some of the more heavy hitters that would go in there. And as it turns out, after old Jim passed away, we found wads of cash and gambling tickets and tickets in his jackets. You'd think that my crazed grandmother, Carmella, long deceased, would have been happy to find all that extra money. Hey, what a windfall. Nope. Curse the poor dead man. Like, that son of a bitch, he was still gambling all this time. It's like, yeah, Nana, he was a degenerate. And you knew that when you married him. And so that's kind of going through my blood, too. So there's part of me there, Joe, that's that looks at what's going to happen with a bit of trepidation with the legalized gambling here in Massachusetts when it does happen.
Well, I just think personally, locally here, there's going to be a lot of, hey, Patriots might be -7 in Vegas, might be -8, -9 with all the locals around here. I think that's the one thing to look forward to. But this is a place, if you're starting out, you want to start a bankroll, over under 985, send us questions weekly, and we'll answer them on the podcast.
Excellent.
Very cool.
All right, so let's go to you, the people. We have one open line you want to join us, 617-779-0985. It's been NBA heavy thus far. Mike in New Jersey. Go ahead. You're next here on Gaspar Murray. Hello.
Hey, guys. You forgot one franchise that recently won down in Washington Capitol.
Oh, yes. That was the one.
Teams to watch lose.
Yes. Oh, that made me so mad.
Great call.
But one, I wanted to talk about Marcus Smart because, you know, I'm looking at this situation not dissimilar from Donta Hightower a few years ago, where the league had kind of moved from the more traditional inside linebacker to kind of the more dynamic linebackers, and he had significant value to the Patriots, not only as an inside linebacker, but also as the captain of that defense. And they kind of said, you know what, go out and see what other teams are willing to pay you. And ultimately came back, realized that the value he thought he had wasn't the same appetite in the market. And I feel like that's kind of the same situation Celtics are going through with Marcus Smart, that, you know, they're not going to, like you guys said, they're not going to pay more than anybody else is willing to just because, you know, maybe that's the value he has to them. You know, so maybe that $6-9 million is more realistic based on how the league views him versus the $12 million that he is wanting. And maybe that is the value to the Celtics, but they're not going to pay more than they need to.
It's a pretty good comp, and thanks for the call, Mike, and how it played out with Donta Hightower. Now, granted, he had a injury-riddled past. But he went out there, and what was it? It was only, correct me if I'm wrong, Chris, it was the New York Jets that made a
Yeah, the Jets were interested in him. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think a lot of people had concerns about his durability, the shoulder, the knee. You know, was he somebody that you could give this money to and he would make it through the contract?
Yeah, but it was one of those other things, too, where I felt like, and I love the player, you know, despite his injury woes, that maybe you got to, you know, take a step back or talk to your management or talk to your family or maybe you have other teammates and you got to sit back and realize, you know what, this is the best fit for me. I might not get the most money, but in terms of a championship and if I'm really about that, like, the grass isn't always greener. I'm going to stay here. Hightower thankfully did with the Pats, and hopefully that's how it plays out with
Smart. You know, you got a pretty good contract. And also, you looked at that defense and you're saying this is one of the better players on that defense. Now, obviously, it's not, you know, apples to apples in basketball. Yes, Marcus Smart is one of your better defensive players, but you don't have units like football. And
Sure. Is
he, you know, he's not one of your, I don't think he's one of your five best players. So I want the guy back. But when I look at it, I think the Celtics look at it and say, okay, yeah, we want this guy on our team. He has value. But if you start in the NBA with the salary cap, if you start overpaying role players, and that's what he is, he's a role player and he's a great one, but he's a role player. If you start overpaying role players, then you lose flexibility to make other moves down the line.
I think that's what they call a Shirelian move when you start doing something like that. Jake in the car, you're next here on Gaspar Murray. Hey, Jake. Jake!
Hey, good morning, or afternoon, whatever it is. A couple of things. Marcus Smart. I agree with the caller before the last one. $8,000 or $9,000 is the most they can pay him. For everything he gives you on defense, he's atrocious on offense. And the worst part about him is, he thinks he can shoot, and he keeps firing them up. Other teams are falling off him, daring him to shoot, and then helping out on other players. He's been in the league, 4 years, and he's gotten no better as far as offensively. they've got to, you know, really take a look at that. They were hoping he'd progress, but he hasn't. He's plateaued. He is what he is, and that's it. Kyrie Irving, I'm worried about him for the reason that he hasn't come out and said, I want to stay on the Celtics. They're, they can pay him as much or more than any other team, so it's not about money. You'd think he'd come out and say, I want to stay here. If he doesn't, that leads me to believe he wants to leave. And one last quick point. I know everyone likes Jason Tatum, but in my opinion, at the end of the day, Jaylen Brown's going to turn out to be a better player. No one's progressed in 2 years like this kid did.
All right, Jake.
He's got a long way to go to get better, too.
I know, and thanks for the call. I know sitting in with Felger and Maz, Mike feels that way. Like, he feels like there's more upside.
Yeah, I feel that way, too. I think there is more upside with Brown. I just don't know if he'll ever reach it. I mean, Tatum's a sure thing.
He's just got to work on that handle and get better at the free throw line. Man, that handle sometimes. It's like, did they put the ball in butter before you touched it, Jaylen?
It's loose. Yeah, it's loose.
You wanted to touch on what he was saying about
Marcus
Smart.
Yeah, well, just something popped in my head while he was talking about Marcus Smart. And I realized this, you know, because we had Peter who, you know, eloquently defended Marcus Smart. Marcus Smart and Jackie Bradley are the same player. The people who love them.
That's true.
Right? And are going to play up what they do defensively and play up, you know, war and what their contribution is and what the team does when they're out there. And then there are other people who are going to look at it and say, objectively, looking at this player, yes, this player contributes, but the player is flawed. And almost, you know, fatally flawed from an offensive standpoint. And I think that's what you're seeing here. You know, Jackie Bradley Jr., Marcus Smart, same guy.
Cam and Taunton with the thought of the day. You're next here in Gaspar Murray. Hey, Cam.
Hey, Jimmy. Forgot another one, too. How about the Tony Romo of golf, Sergio Garcia, winning the Masters?
That's another one.
That's a good one.
All these losers now winning. I hate it.
Gaspar, what you just said, you just described Adam Jones, the man who has no use for you if you're better defensively than offensively. Ultimately, why I'm not worried as much about Kyrie is this. Last year, when these reports about LeBron were leaked, that he was considering building a super team out in L.A., not only were they leaked, you had guys who worked in the league like Mannix and Shams and Scal say, not only is this true, it's going to happen. It's a done deal. He's already made up his mind. People aren't saying that this time. And Kyrie physically is a guy who was loose-lipped. So it's that's ultimately why I'm not as worried about it as other people.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Cam. Yeah, maybe we're making too much out of it, but it does. You know what it is, and I'm part of this problem too. I just think, you know, we want to be lied to as Celtics fans. Like, you know, he's such a transcendent player. He's going to be part of this, or feels like he's going to be part of this next championship for the Celtics. Like, lie to us, tell us you're going to sign a long-term deal, but that's just not what it is. Who he is. That's not part of Kyrie Irving's personality. You know.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, you're right. It's just not. You know, he likes the mystery.
As we're talking Celtics here, I'm going to pat myself on the back here just for a second because the one thing there's maybe a handful of things I've been right about, and I do like to crow.
You do like the victory lap. You really do.
One of the handful of things I've been right about since I came back here full-time at the Sports Hub was, you know, the Bridgies. They were the Bridgies, and that was proven by Danny Ainge when he blew them up. One said Bridgie Jonas Tarebko waived by the Utah Jazz today.
Aw, yeah, Jonas?
That's a shame.
Jonas Tarebko Stevens, an unofficial member of the Stevens family, basically adopted that guy.
I was talking about my shady past, about being thrown out of Patriots games. Two come to mind. It was only twice, 96 against the Denver Broncos and 98 against the Atlanta Falcons. Chris in the car, go ahead.
Hi, how are you?
Good, what's up?
Good, guys. No, I was just thinking about it because I used to work, you know, the Yellow Jacket security.
Mm-hmm.
And I was laughing because they were playing Cordell Stewart in the Pittsburgh Steelers, and me and my buddy, we had a bet, and they brought us down. I'm down on the field, and I'm rooting for Cordell Stewart. That's how degenerate I was back then, and I was always the loser. But finally, the Steelers won the game, but I hated rooting against the Pats, and I'm down there on the field like I'm supposed to look forward into the stadium, you know? And I'm like, go Cordell! But I was just thinking about gambling. I was always the guy from Bronx Tale. They would not give him the dice.
Oh, the mush.
Get in the bathroom.
Yeah, the mush. You were the mush. Yeah, no, that's again, this is what I grew up around. So, yeah, no, there is that part of me that I can't wait for all the sports gambling. But, again, there's that other part of me. It's like, ugh, I know it can be a dangerous thing. I was just reminded there was a third time I was thrown out of a game, and this was more recent. I shouldn't even mention this at all because I was a full-grown adult at this point.
Okay.
Red Sox game 6 years ago?
Okay.
A buddy of mine, his whole company took him. Like, they had basically, you know how this happens sometimes, like, you know, these day games, they'll have, like, whatever, you know, some big conglomerate buys up the whole bleachers, essentially.
Okay.
So his big company goes. I was his plus one because he just got dumped at the time. And I was like, yeah, sure, I'll go and be your wingman. I got, like, shockingly drunk in daytime drinking, like, got there super early, 1 o'clock start, but started drinking at, like, 10 shots early, trying to help him work this girl that he's trying to hook up with that he works with. And all of a sudden, the first thing, I try to stand up, and I'm like, oh, boy, this is a real problem. And not that I did anything bad. I was just a liability at that point. So the next thing I remember, I went down to vomit in a barrel. And as I was projectile vomiting into a barrel, I felt hand on the right shoulder, hand on the left shoulder. And I was like, yeah, I'm sorry. Please don't arrest me. They just throw me out of the building. I won't cause any problems. And then it was kind of shaky from then on. I don't remember. It was like a blackout situation.
Oh, no.
And so this, yeah, it was 2010 because the Celtics were in the playoffs against the Orlando Magic.
Yes.
And I called my friend, and I believe most of the voicemail message I left at the time, because he hasn't let me live it down, was, you got to help me. I'm by the Ted Williams, meaning the statue. He thought the tunnel.
Oh, no.
I was trying to walk home. He went to the wrong place. Bit of a mess, but he did finally find my vomit-covered body hours later, and he took me home. He put me in bed. That's a good friend.
That's a good friend. Yeah. That's a keeper of a friend, man.
But still to this day, every once in a while, I start acting up. Oh, you gotta help me. Oh, you gotta help me. Yeah, because, again, I'm a big, dumb animal. It's happened. Three times. Only three times been thrown out of game.
Okay. Well, I have to be, you know, the show is still young. So your memory might be jogged. I have confidence there could be a fourth time.
There might be. I have to jog it a bit. All right, let's focus our attention on the Patriots for a moment here. As we come back in our next segment, I want to touch on Julian Edelman, that four-game suspension being upheld. We'll get to that next here on Gasper and Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is Gasper and Murray.
You will listen.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Reported first by ESPN's Adam Schefter, Julian Edelman will, in fact, miss the first four games of the season. His four-game suspension is being upheld by the league. Edelman's appeal focused on two key issues, that the NFL mishandled the documentation of the PED test and that the league wasn't able to recognize the substance causing the negative drug test. Edelman could end up pursuing an appeal in federal court.
So the Julian Edelman news, the four-game suspension upheld. It was part of a NFL suspension-based news dump on July 3rd before the holiday. It's Gasper Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub. So a couple of things I want to talk about with this. As was mentioned there in that news report, played that courtesy, that audio courtesy of WPRI in Rhode Island, is that Edelman might fight this, like Brady tried to fight his suspension and take it to federal court. Like, don't, dude, don't. You're not going to win. Fall on your sword. It's four games. If anything, a silver lining here, you'll likely be more healthy towards the end of the season, okay? You don't have to take that much of a beating in those first four games. When you open against Houston, then you're at Jacksonville, two tough games right off the top, and then I think it's a Sunday nighter at Detroit.
That is correct, yes.
And then you're home against Miami. Even at worst, you know, as long as Gronk is healthy and dialed in, and obviously Brady's there, he still has the best coach-quarterback combination in the league, maybe in history. I ain't that worried about it. You have a weapon in Sony Michel, who I think is going to contribute to the passing game as well. I know the depth at wide receiver, shaky, but I'm not that worried about it. I think they'll be able to get by. They obviously did last year. They got to the damn Super Bowl without Julian Edelman when he tore up his knee. But thoughts in terms of where they might be in those first four games, Chris, without him, and I don't know, should he take this to federal court and fight it?
Yeah, so I'll answer the last part first. Absolutely not.
Thank you.
Absolutely not. I mean, that would be, in my opinion, selfish. Like you said, you're not going to win. I mean, this is something that's, you know, collectively bargained between the Players Association and the NFL, that when there's an appeal, it goes to an arbitrator, and the decision has been made. He appealed it basically on the grounds of a technicality, the idea that somehow protocol wasn't followed, that the sample was not properly handled. I just don't think that you're going to win that in federal court. I'm not a lawyer, but I just don't think you're going to win all the wins the NFL has had in federal court. The other thing is that I think missing the first four games of the season, when you look at that, that's a feeling out period for the Patriots anyway, or at least so I've been told for years and years and years now at this point. So if he misses that time, the Patriots are trying to figure out who they are. It might benefit them in the long run anyway. Brady builds a rapport with some of these other receivers, and then when he comes back, you know, I don't worry about him having any issues throwing to Edelman. And I'm not, you know, I do think it's been overplayed, the idea of, well, you know, he sits out the four games, that will really help Edelman. I think that's overplayed to a degree. On the other hand, though, I remember Wes Welker coming back in 2010 after he tore his ACL, the final game of 2009, which was actually a game played in Houston in January 2010. And, you know, when he came back, he wasn't the same guy. It's the only season he was with New England that he averaged under 10 yards a catch. So sometimes these guys come back, they're not quite the same. So maybe the extra time for Edelman would benefit him in some way. Not as much as some people have said, but in some small way, so that when he does come back, he's closer to the Julian Edelman he was before he ripped up his knee last preseason in Detroit.
Well, that reminds me then. You've seen when some of these guys get popped for PEDs, they come back and they look like a shell of themselves. Most recent Patriots example was Rob Ninkovich. It was like he came back after his four-game suspension. It was like, oh, boy. He's not a shocker. Maybe those PEDs really helped.
Rodney Harrison.
Rodney Harrison,
too.
Another one. You know, maybe the ball doesn't stick to what's-his-face's helmet in Super Bowl 42.
David Tyree.
I've tried to wash that name from my brain. If you have a juiced-up Rodney Harrison, any concerns about Edelman coming back and he loses a step? Because that's maybe his best attribute was his separation
speed.
Yeah,
lateral quickness. Yeah, there's always a concern anytime a guy tears an ACL, and it's a guy who relies on quickness and shiftiness and the ability to create separation. So we'll have to wait and see. I'm not as concerned as I would be if I hadn't seen Welker go through it. You know, he might not be the same right away. He might not even be the same guy the entire season. But then Welker bounced back from that, and you know, he was able to do it. And I honestly, this is just my opinion. I don't know anything about this, but I honestly think that's where this PED suspension came from, is Edelman trying to expedite the recovery process and the healing process and get back to where he was before. And I think that's what's happened in the past with guys like Ninkovich and Rodney Harrison. Those were guys that were, you know, using the PEDs to try and be able to get over injuries. So I think Edelman was doing the same thing. And, you know, obviously he got caught. And now I think you just have to take your medicine and take your punishment and come back the fifth game of the year and play as well as you can possibly play. But I think it's unless he has a really good case, and we haven't really heard the particulars or details of his case, Jim, unless he feels like he has a really strong case, and obviously it wasn't as good as Sherman's, because if it was as good as Richard Sherman's in 2012, the arbitrator would have found for Edelman, then don't go to court. That's just selfish.
The other thing I wanted to bring up about this was a story that posted last night on Bleacher Report from Mike Freeman, who, I have to let it be known right off the top, is someone I hate read. I do this. It's not healthy.
Okay.
There's things I hate listen sometimes. To you know, talk shows, other sports-related shows nationally, like listeners. There's hosts that just drive me crazy, but I listen to them to like, hate listen.
Okay.
I hate watch. I watch a lot of, again, I have a lot of problems, but here's yet another one, Chris. I watch a lot of cable access television for the terribleness of it. And, hey, look, maybe these people are trying to, they're hoping, maybe, you know, something that they're doing and can latch on. But I hate watch a lot of cable access stuff just to be like, this is so terrible. I enjoy the terribleness of it. I hate read certain people too. Mike Freeman is one of these authors. He's just
okay.
9 times out of 10 his articles just drive me crazy. It's not healthy. I don't know why I do it, but I do it. And last night he posted a Edelman related story on Bleacher Report that has the title Edelman PED ban raises questions again about what's real and what's not in the NFL. Here's just a portion of it I'm going to read, and this sums it up and what it's about. Edelman, indeed talented, a fast and efficient route runner who is impossible to cover from the slot. He's good, very good, or so I thought. His 4-game suspension for violating the league's drug policy puts into question just how good a receiver Edelman is. In the Patriots' wild comeback against the Falcons in Super Bowl 51, it was Edelman who had one of the best catches in championship history. It kept their comeback alive and, in many ways, was typical Edelman. There are only a handful of players who could make that catch. He was that good. Or was he? And on it goes, the finger-wagging, Nana-esque piece of what are we really watching? Is the NFL on the level? It's not, stupid.
No, there's tons of guys on PEDs.
You
he just
cover
got
it.
Caught.
You cover it. You know, everyone on the league, everyone basically in the league has to be on something to survive it. Their bodies take an absolute beating, an unimaginable beating. This is how they get through. Everyone is not on the level in the NFL. Come on, you're going to put this out there? I know it's a slow time of year in sports, but he goes on here. Edelman's story is bigger than him. Once again, another player fell into the PED trap, and once again, we're left to wonder what's real in football and what's not. Are we watching an honest game, or one partially or almost totally fueled by PEDs? Yes, stupid! Or one turning the corner where the NFL is cleaning up the sport. One where the NFL is only catching the dumb guys. That's what it is. Yeah, they're catching the guys that maybe did a little bit too much.
Yeah.
As to use Felger's terminology, you know, they're all on gas, but maybe they've gone. They're all speeding, but they, you know, they go closer to 85 than 65 or 75.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah, I hear you.
They're just going a little. They're not going a little bit over the speed limit. They're going way over the speed limit. That's why they get caught. Everyone's doing something in the league. They have to. If you're upset about this, it's just so disingenuous, especially a guy like Mike Freeman who covers the league. Like, dude, you know, this is what they have to do to survive, especially a guy coming back
from an injury.
At 32 years old from a catastrophic knee injury, don't give me this finger-wagging Nana crap. Like, please. It's so transparent. Like, you have a problem with the league. It feels like one of the reasons I hate Reed, this guy, it's someone who's paid to cover the NFL, and pretty much every column he puts out there, it feels like he hates having to cover the NFL. Like, find something else to do.
Yeah, I mean, look, you have to – it's a lot like a movie, right? Watching the NFL, we always talk about this. It's the willful suspension of disbelief. It's like going to see, I don't know, Hereditary or something like that, you know?
A terrible movie that is. A waste of money. The only thing worth it is when the little girl gets decapitated. Oops, spoiler. It ain't worth it. Go ahead.
No, I'm done.
All right.
You just said no, but I was just saying, I mean, look, he knows what's up. And I think, you know, to basically say, to use Julian Edelman to project on the entire league, we all know what the deal is, and we all still enjoy the sport, and that's what the situation is. You know, for me, to spin it back, it's just, what is Edelman going to do? You know, because we know that Julian is basically a Brady sycophant, and he tries to do everything that Brady does. So TB12, JE11. So is he going to look at this and be like, well, Tom went to court, I'm going to go to court,
feels
too,
that way, yeah,
to clear my name, you know? And it's like, no, man, you got busted. Like, just take the four games and come back, and you'll be welcome back in Foxborough with open arms.
Well, we'll continue the Patriots conversation if you'll want to join us at 617-779-0985, because with the addition of Sony Michel to the Patriots, you know, I think that he's going to contribute to this backfield. I loved him at Georgia. You may ask, what's their projection? The running back in the backfield projection for the Patriots for 2018. It might not be as high as you think. I'll explain next after the Hub headlines here with Joe Murray on Gasper and Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Gasper and Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub. This is Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Now it's Michelle's turn, running all the way. Gets to the edge. Sony Michel will send the Dogs home to the championship game.
Excited about the backs for the Patriots in 2018 with the addition of UGA's Sony Michel. You just heard there in the Rose Bowl. Back in January, it's Gasper Murray, 98.5 of Sports. I wanted to touch on this because I saw this pop up. I'm one of like the nine people that actually pays for the ESPN Insider account. I still get ESPN Magazine at home, and typically when it arrives, Chris, I look at the cover and it goes right in the trash.
Yeah, just, so I too pay for it, and now what I do is
what a waste.
I send the magazine to my parents' house, and they can deal with it.
And when you see your dad, does he roll it up and then hit you over the head with it like
no,
a dog?
No, but he does always.
What are you sending me this for?
But he does always try and give it to me, and I'm like, I'm good, yeah, I'm no, good, thanks. If you want that, that's cool.
It's not good. Like, one out of every, like, 20 issues is decent. Much like the Insider paywall on ESPN.com. Every once in a while, there's a columnist post like, ooh, not only is it kind of interesting, it's pretty good content. And one those type of articles posted up this morning, ranking the NFL backfields for 2018 with projections. So I was like, okay, I'm into this because I was one of the few people, few when I consider the show I'm normally on with Felger and Maz, and I get bashed for this because I'm a pro backer. I love running backs in the league. I do think back lives matter in the NFL now. Yeah, I think that's being proven here the last few years, with especially where they're being drafted in the first round, the likes of Todd Gurley and Ezekiel Elliott. Come to mind. So I was like, okay, I love this Michel signing for the Patriots, and where are they going to be here? Because I do think that, you know, he's a dynamic playmaker. He'll help in the passing game as well. Where are the Patriots ranked 1 to 32? And it's not as high as you might think. This is written by Mike Clay of ESPN, and he starts this by saying, running back position, not what it used to be. NFL teams passing more than ever. Backs expected to catch and pass protect. Focus has shifted from workhorses to committees. Here's my ranking of all 32 backfields with stat projections and what to expect from each unit in 2018. I will start with you, Chris, and have Joe Murray alongside as well. Where do you think 1 to 32, where do you think the Pats rank?
12th.
Joe?
18th.
Okay, you guys actually had it way lower than I thought. They have them at 10th.
Oh, okay.
Which I actually think is, you know, because that maybe I have too high expectations of Michel, James White. As long as he's healthy, yeah. I still think he's going to be able to contribute, especially in the passing game. Rex Burkhead, whatever.
I think Rex Burkhead's going to be big those first four games. I mean, when he was healthy, the way they used him out of the slot, if you don't have Edelman and you don't trust these other guys, I think Burkhead could be a big part of the offense.
And Mike Gillisley, you know, still on the roster. He was a bust last year, and I loved how he looked in Buffalo. I thought that was going to be a coup for them that they poached him from Buffalo, but you know, it wasn't to be. But, yeah, 10th, which I thought was low. They have – I mean, look, there's teams that you have to understand would be ahead of them, like the Rams, Saints with Alvin Kamara, Ingram, Terrence West. Steelers obviously have arguably the best back in the league in Le'Veon Bell. The Falcons with Tevin Coleman, Devontae Freeman. Cowboys, Elliott, Tavon Austin. I forgot that they even got him. Cardinals, I still think people overrate David Johnson.
He's a really – really, you think so?
Yeah.
He's a really good player, and he's a great sort of – basically, his best thing is the versatility. I mean, his ability to catch the ball out of the backfield, and he is explosive. He's a good back.
Tough pill to swallow looking at this. They have the Tennessee Titans ahead of the Patriots, three spots at seven with Deion Lewis, who, of course, they get in free agency. Derrick Henry, who was a bit of a beast at times last year.
Yes, he needed more carries last year.
And Akram Wadley. They have the Browns ahead of the Patriots with Duke Johnson. They draft Nick Chubb. They have Carlos Hyde, who's kind of underrated. The Chiefs with Kareem Hunt was phenomenal last year. Spencer Ware, Damian Williams. And then the Patriots at 10th. And so he has the projected unit stats at 393 carries. Over 1,600 yards, 15 touchdowns, 105 receptions for 870 yards and 5 touchdowns. And in the passing game, I feel like that's low. He writes here with the outlook, the Patriots are known for their committee approach, but we very well could see a bit of a change in 2018 after Bill Belichick and company spent a first-round pick on Sony Michel. Passing down specialist James White, versatile Burkhead, and one of Jeremy Hill. I even forgot about him. Jeremy Hill or Mike Gillisley figure to mix in, but considering the team's success with Burkhead and Deion Lewis last season, it's fair to expect Sony Michel will see an opportunity for significant touches. Patriots backs have averaged a pedestrian 4.1 yards per carry over the past three seasons, but they were at 4.4 last season, unit combined for league-high 9 touchdown receptions in 2017, ranked first with 23 over the past three seasons. This is why I think that 5 in the passing game is low in terms of projection. Belichick's sum-of-the-parts approach has worked fairly well, so we should expect another strong season from his backfield in 2018. But you guys even had it lower. Chris, you had it at 12. Joe, you had it at 18. Make your case.
There's no star back. Like, who's going to get the ball every day? Like, last year it took, what, 6 weeks, 7 weeks for Deion Lewis to take over? So, I mean, who's going to be the bell cow day one? Is it going to be – I mean, personally, I know you don't like Jeremy Hill, but I think that's a guy who comes in New England can turn it around, especially around the goal line. But I know James White's going to catch balls out of the backfield. Sony Michel, I mean, again, I loved him in college, but was he going to play right away? I mean, these guys just don't get those kind of reps right away. So I just don't know who the main guy is going to be. And Gillisley, Hill, one of them is going to get cut. But, you know, I don't know. I just look at it. Rex Burkhead might play out of the slot because they're probably going to need a wide receiver at some point. And I'll just give you one name. Like, I'll do this on my own time. But Ralph Webb, okay? I'm telling you, this kid.
You're like, yeah, from Vanderbilt.
I think he can somehow, he'll be like a Tyler Gaffney type who can sneak on. He was a stud at Vanderbilt. You'll probably see a ton of him in the preseason. You can write articles about him.
Yeah,
Chris.
Ralph Webb.
But hey, he might sneak into the mix. So.
He's a good player at Vanderbilt. Yeah, I think Joe sort of made the point there. Like, I think they're not evaluating these backfields in terms of depth. They're saying, who are the teams that have sort of bell cow backs? Or maybe have two potential lead backs. And when you look at the Patriots, they just use their running backs differently. And when you look at their team, who are the guys that have lead back potential? You know James White's not a lead back. Burkhead's not a lead back. I think Sony Michel has lead back potential. That's why they drafted the guy. But they haven't seen it yet. So I think that's why I was not saying that I think they're 12th. But when you said to me, where do you think ESPN ranked them? I'm like, yeah, they're probably like 12th.
All right, so where are they to you? Where, you know, if you had to rank this?
If I had to rank this, I mean, I would have to look at all the teams, Jim, and I was partially paying attention to what you were saying there, but I was also on Twitter, so I know you ran down all the teams.
Well, I mean, Tennessee being ahead of them when, you know, they have Deion Lewis why am I down prank?
Derrick Henry.
Like, okay.
Because Derrick Henry was really good last year, and again, I'm assuming the person who wrote this is a little bit of a stats person.
Yeah.
And like Derrick Henry was sort of, you know, for advanced stats and in the NFL last year, a little bit of a darling, and the idea was he didn't get enough carries, and that with more carries, he would have been a really dominant back. So, you know, I can see that projection and why they would sort of project it that way. And I think a lot of it has to do with the way the Patriots use their running backs. And what do you consider value? Like, for me, I would have the Patriots in the top 10. But I think what is the value of your running backs? I think a lot of people still look at it and say, okay, how many times do you hand it off to them? The Patriots use their backs differently. A lot of times the real value from the Patriots running backs is in the passing game.
Who's this guy again out of Vanderbilt, Joe?
Ralph Webb, all-time leading rusher, I believe, at Vanderbilt.
They draft him this year?
No, undrafted
free agent.
So he could be this year's Joey Yosefa. Remember when he was a
darling? Yeah, that's right.
A few years ago for a couple of weeks. Yeah, they got to use Yosefa a little bit more. The Hawaiian hammer.
Like, for Webb to make it, I think he'd have to beat out...
Brandon Bolden, which I don't think they love him on special teams.
All right, so if you want to weigh in on this, again, this is from the ESPN paywall today. Projections for backfields in the NFL, 1-32 in 2018. The Patriots ranked 10th. 10th, according to the guy who wrote this article, stats nerd Mike Clay of ESPN. You want to join us, 617-779-0985. Before we go to break, I want to let you know about the Sports Hub American Red Cross Blood Drive happening a week from today, Saturday, July 14th. You can donate from 10 a.m. until 3:30 in the afternoon at the Best Western in Woburn. There'll be raffles and games throughout the day. Walk-ins are welcome. You can schedule an appointment at redcrossblood.org. It's the Sports Hub American Red Cross Blood Drive happening Saturday from 10 to 3:30 at the Best Western in Woburn. Hey, now that I think of it, in the past, haven't Johnston and Flynn actually like been live at this event? Maybe we work at this next week. And think of all the cookies we'd get to have, because they normally give you a cookie and a glass of juice after you get
blood.
You know,
it's interesting you say that, because I was trying to think, because I know that, you know, I came down in the studio the last couple of days, and there's a lot of stuff that's missing. We're in the process of shifting locales.
Yeah, well, it's a ghost town here now.
And so I'm like, is this going to be our last show from the studio, or do we have one more?
My understanding is that the move happens during this week, and we may or may not do the show from the new digs in Dorchester next Saturday.
That's my understanding.
You are supposed to, the show will be next Saturday, whether it's at the blood drive or it's at the new place.
Okay.
So it won't be here. So this is it for here. Is that what you're saying?
The last show here in Brighton at the Town Fair Tire Studios in Brighton. Yeah. Wow.
Wow.
Well, I will say, now I desperately hope that it's at the blood drive in Woburn, because in the new studio, man, if we're like one of the first or second shows to do a live show in that place, gee, I wonder if there's going to be any technical difficulties. And if that were to happen, gee, I wonder if yours truly would lose his mind. Would I take that in stride? I wonder.
Yeah, but they need guinea pigs.
And that's what I've been through most of my life, Chris. Well, again, Sports of American Red Cross Blood Drive Saturday, July 14th, week from today. Maybe we'll see you there. Back after this with our long commercial-free segment. It's Gasper and Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Stay tuned for more Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub.